Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to this pretty solemn night of Good Friday. It's a weird day called Good, but we'll learn and see how we look at this as being the Good Friday. And the center of our faith, the object of our faith for our whole life, the cross, where Jesus goes and fulfills the purposes of God, his plan for salvation, and shows his reign and rule over the creation. We'll begin our service with the confession of sin. As you're able, please stand. We look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
And consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
And being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him.
And by his wounds we are healed.
Since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, in Jesus Christ, God has given us the gift of repentance, so that we might confess our sins and be restored as God's beloved creature.
Lord, save me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, for I know my transgressions and my sins always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Forgive me, Lord, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. When I was in great need, he saved me. Jesus took our sin that we might be made right before God. He died for sin once for all to bring you to your heavenly Father. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority, I announce to you that your sins are forgiven. You are restored to God's kingdom through his Son's death. You are brought to new life.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Good Friday reading is from Hebrews chapter 4 and chapter 5. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing our hymn.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we remember this day took upon the cross, suffered, died for you. Good Friday can be pretty uncomfortable, I think. It's a little awkward walking in silence, and especially if it's a Friday. You come from just having dinner and having fun with your family, or in some way getting a little joy out of the evening, because it is the weekend and Easter's on Sunday. Good Friday doesn't really live up to the name of good on a Friday. It occurred to me more when I was in seminary, because I was assigned to different churches, you know, for field work and training and practice and stuff. And we were going through Holy Week this time of year, and I was talking to a lady at the church about the services. And she mentioned that she wasn't going to go to the Good Friday service. And I was like, well, why not? And she said, well, she doesn't like the service. It's dark and depressing. The hymns are depressing. It just makes me feel sad and makes me feel bad. And it's awkward to leave in silence when it's so dark and you don't really know what to do as you leave. Maybe you felt that way last night if you were here. Is it okay to talk once you get out? Or are you supposed to just be silent all the way to your car? I just enjoy Easter more, she said. It's a lot more fun, it's exciting, it's bright, the hymns are loud, and everyone is just kind of happy to be there. I get it. Easter does sound better. Easter kind of offers that joy and happiness we all want to experience. So maybe it does feel unfortunate that we have to face Good Friday. But the reality is, Easter doesn't come without Good Friday. And we do not enjoy the resurrection without facing death. And that's what makes this day seem like such a contradiction. Why this day feels so paradoxical. Because this is the day that we decided to call good. And that's hard to face. Because the cross doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. There's nothing about looking at the crucifixion that is obviously good. All the other days in the church year never get the special privilege of being called good. But this day, Christ's crucifixion, Christ's death, the Son of God being put to death, is good. It's Good Friday. And that's baffling to the mind. I don't think I'm the only one that mixes the names Good Friday and Black Friday. But I think that's exactly the challenge we face and we constantly have to struggle with as we come across contradicting circumstances. What is actually good about Good Friday? What is actually good for you? Well, it seems this church has deemed this day, the death of the Son of God, as good. And that good doesn't seem so clear. The events themselves, as we'll read through in the Gospel of John, don't offer any clear indication as to why this day is good to remember. But thankfully, John is a good writer. He's a gospel writer. And hopefully, I hope here and as we go into the Gospel of John, you will see with somewhat new eyes the account John offers to us and how John sees this day as good. Even while it seems so opposite, for John, the events we'll read of Christ's crucifixion is the procession of the king to his throne. The cross itself is Jesus Christ's enthronement, and how everyone else around him, how everyone else involved, has no idea or doesn't see it that way. Too often on Good Friday, we want to focus on that sorrowful and suffering, blood, sweat, and anguish Jesus. But John shows that after the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Christ suffered there, Jesus is simply marching toward his throne. John does not give us any indication of Jesus Christ suffering on his way to the cross. John shows us that Jesus is simply receiving and bearing what it takes to be the King, to be the Lord of creation, to rule and reign over God's people. Even while we know the scourges, the beatings, the crown of thorns, the nails, and the blood, they ought to have been painful, John does not focus on those things. But as John is keen on doing, he focuses on Jesus Christ's words. Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom does not come from this world." He also says, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth, that everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." He also will say, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above." And then, as we go through it, you ought to notice the words from the cross that John chooses to include in his gospel. There is no cry of dereliction that we hear from Mark, the my God, why have you forsaken me? No, the King who sits on his throne has only instructions. And as a king, he comes with this responsibility for his people. He tasks and instructs people like his beloved disciple and his mother, and gives his mother to John to take care of. And then as a good king who wishes to make a proclamation, to clear his throat, he asks, "Give me a drink." And like good subjects, the guards offer him his wine. And in declaration proclaims, "It is finished. It is finished. Finished indeed. It is finished for you." You see, what makes Good Friday so good is not that the church declared it was good or gave it a name, or that you think it's good. Good Friday is good because God is good. And it was through the cross that it pleased God to bring the creation back to himself, to set you right before him, and to make something beautiful out of what is gruesome, to create out of nothing. One of John's most beautiful connections, funny enough, is at the beginning of his gospel. John begins his gospel with the same words that Genesis begins: "In the beginning." In Genesis, the Word of God created all that is good, right, and beautiful, and brilliant out of nothing. The whole creation. All that is great and wonderful, the water, the mountains, the vegetation, the creatures that creep, and his prized possession, men and woman. But after the brokenness and sin entered into the world, demolishing God's beautiful work, destroying God's creation, its beauty, and amounting it to nothing, rather than condemning it all, the Son of God enters in to be of it, to be in it, and to bear it all. The King, the Lord of creation, comes in the most gentle and most humble way to take his place on the throne and to create out of nothing. And it's from the cross that he creates something new to make you new. Easter means nothing without the cross. Easter does not validate the cross. Easter is the result of the cross. Resurrection is the result of death. For God creates out of nothing. You know how much you actually offer you offer nothing. Because you are nothing. But God, in his fierce love and care for you, he decided to do as he did for Adam. And the Son of God bent low, messed around in the clay, and breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. That's what makes the cross good for you today. By it and through it, you become his. And you are no longer nothing. But you receive all the benefits of the reign and rule of your king. To be where he is. To live as he lived. To be loved. And to share that love. Jesus Christ died for you. You are his. And he is yours. Amen. Please stand. We pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, we go through the order of Tenebrae, which is a service of darkness. In this one, I hope to tell the story as told by John, as I mentioned earlier. And we'll see the candles slowly get extinguished and the lights slowly dim down. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Passion foretold in Isaiah chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and he was esteemed nothing. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offering. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. We read Psalm 27 responsibly.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. of whom shall I be afraid?
Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear.
Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek.
And that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to see him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling.
He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle, and set me high upon a rock.
I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
Let us pray. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free.
The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mortals do to me?
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in mortals.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
I will give you thanks, for you answered. You have become my salvation.
The song of those that reject. rejected has become the half son.
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, you will that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of his officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" And Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. We continue with Psalm 22, we speak responsibly.
O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?
In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
But I am Lord, not human, scorned by others and despised by people.
All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads.
Yet it was you who took me from the womb.
From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God.
Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which by our sins we have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Jesus before Pilate. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it would it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and your chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is true?" But he said this, after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber.
Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not ever let me be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily.
Your Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress.
For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that is hidden for me.
For you are my refuge.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
You never leave me, O Lord, faithful God.
We pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety, the works of your mercy so that your church spread throughout all the nations may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and being in the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man!" When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. Psalm 42.
As a deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night.
While they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?"
These things I remember as I pour out my soul.
How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God.
With glad shouts and songs of praise and multitude-keeping festival.
Why are you cast down from my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him.
My salvation and my God.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things.
Please stand as we pray. Almighty and everlasting God,
because you seek not the death but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Please stand as we pray. Almighty and everlasting God, King of glory and Lord of heaven and earth, by whose Spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, the God of peace and the author of all concord, grant us, we implore you, your heavenly peace and concord, that we may serve you in true fear, to the praise and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We sing. Please be seated.
Jesus sighed his tears. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced.
We pray together. O Almighty and everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led into true repentance, and may have the same love, and be of one accord, and one mind and heart with us, and with your whole Christian Church, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. We sing our hymn.
Let us pray for all these things for which our Lord would have us ask, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.